Welcome to Life Lab with David Ponder and Zach Schaefer. We are the podcast of Experience Experiments.
We give you those experiments via change challenges at the end of each episode.
We created this podcast because we wanted to talk about important topics that can help us all live meaningful lives.
You might agree with what we have to say, or you might disagree. But the point there is that you get something new to think about.
There's no edits and no gimmicks. Our entire point is to help you take action and live a better life.
You only get one life to live, so you may as well make the most of it. Good morning, Zach.
Good morning, Dave.
How you doing? How are you doing this morning?
I'm doing well. Been up since 5 a.m.
You know, I've been up since I was early, too. But I don't know what it was. I woke up today, and I'm feeling good.
Feels good to feel good.
I'm feeling motivated.
Hmm.
Feeling alive.
Do you have something to do today?
I've got lots of things to do today. Yeah, we're going to... I mean, the schedule's full. We're supposed to go to breakfast with the grandparents. We've got a bunch of events on the calendar that we need to do. But I don't know why. For some reason, I'm feeling really good about it. I'm feeling motivated. I'm feeling alive, you know, all the things that I've already said and I'm repeating now.
Nice. Well, good.
Yeah. I don't know what it is, but it's just like I got some sense today of vitality.
Vitality.
Yeah. So let's talk more about vitality today, huh?
Energized, feeling strong.
Yeah, so I found a couple definitions of vitality.
Toss them out.
That I thought were okay, they're okay. One is exuberant physical strength or mental vigor. And I like that word, vigor.
I like vigor and vitality.
Yeah.
I need to use more V words.
Yep. The other one I thought that was interesting was continuation of a meaningful or purposeful existence. So I like the meaning and purpose part of that one. So, and I think that there's some sort of correlation between feeling strong and vigorous and having meaning and purpose. So
I think there is.
Yeah.
That definition, the second one's interesting because it says continuation. And I agree, but I also think you can get vitality from a deviation, from getting off of an existence that is de-energizing and soul-sucking and recommitting to a new path, that can be very invigorating and full of vitality. So it's not just continuing a previously purposeful path or existence, but creating and charting a new one can also be full of vitality.
Oh, 100%. I think it's renewing. I think what you're talking about is renewing your meaning and purpose. So,
yeah,
you know, like if you think about the path of life, you've got an excellent chart up on your wall here that talks about the paths of life that are available to you. And it looks like a tree, you know, as you could see. And imagine if that tree fell over and the trunk of the tree is to the left and all the branches as they go up the tree are to the right. I love that chart because what it does is it says in the past, these are the paths of life that are available to you as it relates to the past. And there's only one green line that goes up the trunk and it goes through one thick branch to one thin branch. And it just is illustrating in the past, that's it. You can't take any of those other branches. There's hundreds of other branches that you could have gone, thousands, millions probably, if we think about every decision we make through life. Those are no longer available to you. But the best thing about that chart is that it then shows on the right the future. And these are the paths that are available to you on the future. And it's the same thing. It looks like a tree that's laid over on its side, but it is all lit up. It is all green. You can go any path. They're all open to you in the future. I love that. That chart makes me think about when you talk about renewing your meaning and purpose, the fact that there's always the ability, you always have that option to renew your meaning and purpose. But it's weird because we go through these phases of life where we have accepted a singular meaning and purpose, and then we get into that mode, so to speak, that we get heads down, right? And then that's what we work on. And even after the joy dies, after the passion dies, after we disconnect ourselves from that original choice of why we went that direction, the vitality starts to wane, so to speak, right?
Mm-hmm.
But we can always renew it. We can always you know. And I find that's one of the things that helps with the journaling that we do, the Stoic journaling and things like that, is it helps me like zoom out. For some reason, when I zoom out and I look at, I realize, oh man, I've been living on this single branch of this tree. You know what I mean? And like when I zoom out, I can actually see that I can either renew with myself. Yes, this was the best choice. I love the fact that I'm on this branch, you know?
Yeah.
Or I can say no, like you said, no, I need to renew my choice.
It gives you a different perspective. So when you're in the weeds, that type of tool is a reminder of vitality for you.
Yeah.
I think for folks that might not have focus or feeling neurotic and overwhelmed, it could actually be a potential stressor for them.
Yeah. Talk to me about that.
Well, I use it as fuel because it reminds me, fuck, okay, here's where I'm at right now in life. I could pivot, stop, and go back to medical school. I can do whatever I want. And I believe that. Other folks feel trapped. And then they see, oh, I've got all these other choices out there. That's hard. That's too much choice. That I don't want that.
Well, I think the narrative for many people that is the problem in what you're talking about is them saying, I can't do that. I couldn't do that.
Well, yeah, it's self-limiting beliefs, and clearly they're not full of vitality while they're thinking about their options, so they don't see as many options available to them.
Exactly.
I get vitality and energy, mind, body, and spirit, just knowing that I could sell everything I have right now and move my family to a totally another country and just start a totally different life. If I needed to, I could do that and 100% be fine. Like, I just don't get trapped in this. Here's who I am as a worker. Here's what I have to do. Oh, my 401k is that. None of that shit's important to me.
Well, so let me refresh what we're saying, because I think it'll give a round it out. Because we talked about how the original definition I gave was exuberant physical strength or mental vigor. And I think what you're talking about is keyed in mental vigor. But I think this gives a better contextual approach to what exactly you're talking about. It's from a psych department at the University of Pennsylvania, and it was on one of their like websites that has all these tactics to live a happy life. Okay. And it says vitality is approaching life with excitement and energy, not doing things halfway or half-heartedly, living life as an adventure, feeling alive and activated. And that's exactly what you just said. You said, I could sell everything that I want, that I own, and I could go live in a different city, and I know that choice is available to me, and things would be fine, right?
Yeah.
Man, just knowing that that option is there. When I talked about that chart, that's what that chart does. It helps you zoom out and realize, maybe I don't want to do that, right? Maybe I'm content with the life I'm living and the meaning and purpose I've built. But I could do that. You know what
I mean? To me, it's a reminder. So my forthcoming book this summer is called Hidden Choices. That's what that chart is. There's so many choices that surround. It's a chart about opportunity costs. And for me, we make so many choices that deplete our vitality every day from the foods we eat and the lack of sleep most people give themselves, to the lack of activities they pursue and the consumptive habits that they enjoy. They're literally just depleting their energy stock all day. And then they feel bad about themselves or where they're at night. And it's like, no shit. Every choice you've made throughout the day, A, you don't see it as a choice. B, it's taking away your energy, your inner vigor, your mind. You're disconnecting your mind, your body, and your spirit.
That A. So B, I think, is the result of the A almost. It's probably the result of many things, but I want to key in on that A. You don't see it as a choice. And let me focus on that a little bit later, because I want to expand a little bit on vitality, right? So one of the things that this psychology website says is that vitality is one of the most important strengths, and they list five key strengths that are highly correlated with happiness and well-being, and vitality is one of them. The other ones are curiosity and interest in the world, hope and optimism, gratitude, and the capacity to love and be loved, according to them. But they talk about vitality and its importance, and they talk about the roots of vitality, and it's like, wow, I had not really considered that or thought about it, but it's pervasive throughout historic culture. So the Chinese call it the qi. The Japanese call it ki. It's the Indian notion of prana. And at its heart, it's basically, it's like an underlying life energy or force that like flows through us and gives us health, right? So think about acupuncture, Reiki, yoga. They all focus on and refer to one of those other terms based on whatever culture they came out of, but they're all aimed at that, that life force, that life energy, that vitality. So I just think it's super important. Even Western psychologists have talked about it. Like I thought it was interesting because they were talking about Freud and they said that he referred to it as libido. And so then I was like, oh, wow. When you think about libido, you think about sex, right? Mm-hmm. You think about it as a sexual thing. But there, I do believe there is a tie there between life force, life energy. Because what is sex?
Well, obviously you're creating life. Yeah. That's the point of it.
Yeah. So anyway, we can go back to that. But I think that it's important to think about it that way when you're talking about exactly what you just said. You're like, A, they don't see it as a choice. And yeah, anytime that you do something because you think you have to do it, which is the way, unfortunately, I have to admit, I do that all the time. I wake up and I look at my day. I'm like, well, I have to do this and I have to do that, you know?
Because those are the choices you've made.
Well, I made a choice a long time ago and it's led me here. Mm-hmm. And now these are the 10 things that I have to do today if that's I want to stay on this path. And that's just a shitty way of looking at it. That is a way that will drain.
I get to, but that small shift from have to get to is, it's meaningful and it's hard. It's hard to truly embrace that, but it starts with changing that language around it. Oh, I have to go give blood right after this. No. I get to. It's fun, man. I get to go save lives.
Right.
Like after this, I'm literally saving lives by just having somebody stick with me with the needle. How awesome is that?
Right.
How many other people do we know today are going to save lives?
Well, and I'm going to try to do that in this upcoming week after having this conversation. I'm going to try to reframe it and say, not only do I get to, I want to.
Yeah. Because
I think about it this way. I made a choice a long time ago. I want to start a business, right? And so now, in any day, I can pick any one seemingly mundane task and be like, oh, I have to do that, right? So like, yesterday I was on calls all day. It was a Friday, and typically I don't like doing that. I try to block off my schedule so I can wrap things up for the week, and I didn't get to it all. And so I just carried this massive to-do list into the weekend, which I don't like. And at the end of the day, I capped it off with a call that ended up with another big to-do. So on that call, I left and I was like, all right, action items. I'm going to build this slide deck that does X, Y, and Z for this. And we're going to then, you know, try and put a webinar or something. And in my head, I was just complaining to myself like, oh, one more thing I have to do.
Yep. But that's natural. That's right. Natural. You don't have an assistant to help you out or anyone to delegate to. And a lot of those tasks are beneath where you're at in terms of your competence, but it's owning the business. It's things that have to get done. So.
Yeah. Well, I mean, we can get on that topic. I mean, I do have people I could delegate to. There's just a balance of, like you said, there's a balance of competency across the team, and I know at which level which things have to get done. And some of these things are best done by me and my competence if we're going to grow. But anyway, bottom line is I made a choice. I chose. I wanted. So why does any one of these tasks, why do I separate it from that want? You know, you get what I'm saying?
Yeah. You were on the way to partner at a top four accounting firm and you chose to leave.
Well,
you could have stayed there.
Yeah.
You could have stayed there and been big dick Dave at Ernst & Young. And
sure. Everyone's going to be partnered.
Working in Singapore.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
But you wanted to start your own firm eventually.
Yeah.
For me, the vitality piece, most people probably think physical vigor first. Not that I do or don't, because that's clearly part of it. I've reframed, though, in the last few years, especially after reading Robert Greene's book, Mastery. Unbelievable book. And it's all about finding and pursuing your life's task. If you know what your life's task is, what your purpose and mission on planet Earth is, you got vitality throughout your whole life, throughout your whole day. You take it to the grave. Anyone pursuing what they view as their mission, their life's task, even if they're not physically strong, doesn't matter. They got a glow. They got an aura. They are getting after it in life. They are master of their domain. And that is how I think about it. Now, It's like, yeah, I do want physical strength too while I'm young and can get after that. But it's kind of cool talking about what you were talking about with trying to figure out your life's task or knowing that and trying to maintain vitality. Sometimes you have to deplete vitality in order to grow it. Think lifting weights, running, starting a business. Yeah. You are literally depleting part of your chemical energy with the goal of knowing that it's going to come back even more, even stronger, even fuller. And to do that, you have to have conviction and you have to have spirit. You have to have grit to pursue that, because if you get in there and you get that little pain from whether it's weightlifting or running or having to put the slide deck together on Easter Sunday, if you don't have the spirit and conviction, it's done. You're not going to, your vitality won't see you through it.
100%. I mean, I think it's like stress. You have to stress things to build strength. You have to break things down.
Yeah, it's a muscle.
Yeah, you have to tear down for it to come back stronger. I think, I mean, tying exactly what you said to that contextual stuff I was talking about, think about yoga. Think about, man, it sucks. I don't know anybody who's ever gone and done yoga and been like, their first yoga session was like, that was so pleasurable.
Yeah.
I just really was so happy.
Now, we talk about it like as if we like it, but it's very, that's where the pain is the pleasure, because you know you're working hard.
Yeah. And so in the moment, it's you want to talk about discomfort. It is uncomfortable. And it's keeping yourself in a state of discomfort. But then when you're done with it, there's some weird magical.
That's the vitality coming in. Yes. It's flowing in. Yes. And, you know, it's the all those different words from the different cultures you used. But it's take my vitality away while I'm doing this to grow it right afterwards.
And I think that it's important to remember the fact that vitality. So. Let's talk about this. Let's talk about vitality. Is vitality a physical thing that we can explain with neuroscience and we've got the neurons firing and blah, blah? You know what I like? I like the idea that it is mystic, that it does transcend us, that, you know, especially in Western society, when I was reading about this and it was talking about the Eastern cultures, the terms that they use and the things that they talk about for this life force, this life energy, right? And then it talked about the Western psychologists, and it's like, well, and the Western psychologists think that we have mental models that blah, blah, blah. You get what I'm saying? Internal conflict and stress and repression. And I was just like, man, that is totally the difference between when it comes to like philosophical, the mystical, right?
Mm-hmm.
That is the difference between East and West. And for some reason, some part of me, especially when we're talking about vitality, just prefers that Eastern mystical thing that, because I do. I think there is something that transcends. Like,
well, that's the spirit piece that I talked about. Like, clearly, from a medical, Western medical perspective, we could define vitality in a way and measure it in terms of chemistry and chemicals in our body. But I can tell you right now, I have someone I'm picturing. They have physical vitality. They had a thriving business that they built from scratch, but they did not have mental vitality because they had depression and it crippled them. They, to the point where they were a totally different person. They literally just shut their business down, sold it because of the mental stress that they were feeling. It just killed it. And so this person, their spirit is now hollow and dead, in my opinion, and they know it has to be rebuilt. And physically, they're healthy, all this stuff. But man, there's just something going on there. And it is, they've been sucked of their energy, their vigor, their vitality. Talking to this person on the phone, the first time I got a hold of them, it was as if I was talking to a completely different human being. I can't even put it into words. It was just...
You hadn't talked with them for
horrible,
a while?
Horrible. Yeah. Yeah. And it was bad. Just all vitality gone. And this was one of the top two most vigorous, full of vitality, full of spirit, I can conquer life and do anything, people that I've ever met. Wow. And now it is the complete opposite.
I wonder if... I wonder if that there's some sort of like, you know, if you have highs in vitality, you can also have very deep lows, very high highs and very deep lows.
Yeah, like
if it's a volatile
manic depressive bipolar
right.
type stuff. So anyway, that to me, the spirit piece ties into belief, into conviction, into something that's not human and very hard to articulate into words, but I believe it's there.
Well, let me try. Because we talked about, all right, so vitality, I believe there's a link. If we're talking about it as a life force that is in you, which I truly believe that it is, and you think about the things that drive us, right? I think sex is a driver. I really do. I think...
Well, obviously, so did Freud.
The libido and everything. So, especially from a male perspective, right? You see these... We were just down in South Beach. We were in Miami, all right, for the Bitcoin conference. And I was just telling Zach, I was like, man, just the displays of money were just unbelievable.
Peacocking.
Yeah, just three Lamborghinis in a row. Like, just unbelievable, just people showing how much money they have. Okay. But, yeah, obviously, there's a pattern there, right? Oftentimes, it's men. Oftentimes, it's older men. And what are they going for? What do they care about? Of course, they want to stroke their ego. They want to show off to the other, quote unquote, lesser men that look at me. I'm the alpha. I'm super successful when it comes to finances and money, right? But really, what they want is sex. They want sex, right?
I mean, that's a commonly accepted hypothesis.
I think it's pretty hard to argue. I think it's pretty – or even if they don't want sex, they want the ability to have sex if they wanted to. They want to show
– I'm not disagreeing.
It's a power.
But I would – okay. I'll say power. But I would say some of these guys are probably happily married and not looking to have
sex. But what I'm saying is they get some sort of a positive feeling whenever they get hit on by some young, good-looking woman throwing themselves at them, and they know.
Or in South Beach, some young, good-looking man.
or in South Beach, yeah, especially because it was Pride Week.
So. Yes,
but you get what I'm. You get my point.
Yeah, okay. I'm not disagreeing.
So what? So if you accept that, which I'm sure a lot of people listening to this won't, but I do. I think there's this thread of truth to that. I really do. If you accept that. And I would also surmise, right, that if you get older and you completely lose all sex drive and all interest in sex, some sort of motivation you have lost. You'll still be motivated, right? You'll still want to achieve things. You'll still have meaning and purpose in life, no doubt about it. But I think there is some sort of element to
Well, that. Of course there is. All you have to do is listen to any radio commercial every 3 to 5 minutes. You've got somebody coming on for the low T Institute,
right.
The alpha male pill,
right.
Having problems in the bedroom, right. Enhance your testosterone. I mean, that's right. Exactly what you're talking about.
Well, and obviously,
but that's vitality.
Well, yeah. That's
a lot of them don't talk about it here. Increase your boner size, right? They always hit it from the energy side. They hit it from the vitality side, but clearly there's a connection for men to the other side.
Right. Which is why if you want to deny this, okay, go pick up any magazine. Historically, any advertisement is overly sexualized. Why? Mm-hmm. Because they understand it's a driver.
It's primal. That's just going back to primal.
It's primal. So if that's the case, then what is our driver? Our driver's to procreate. Why is our driver to procreate? Because obviously, if we're going to survive as a species, we need that driver built deep into us. It needs to be one of the primary one needs to be survival of the individual, but then just shortly after that needs to be procreation, right? So, anyway.
So and people that can have kids have vitality.
Yeah.
So does the person that has 12 kids have more vitality for you than the person that has two?
Well, let's put a pin in that. I'm not saying that right now, but let's put a pin in that. I think my answer is no. But what I'm saying is this, is I'm trying to talk back to the mystical. And we can explain scientifically the process of procreation. But what we can't explain is the life. At what point in time does the sperm and the egg, you know, go from what they are scientifically to another human life with a beating heart
consciousness.
And consciousness. Yeah. We can't explain that, right? Even when we look at models of the brain and we talk about neurons that are firing, at no point is there any scientific explanation that gets from that to consciousness. They have no freaking idea what consciousness is.
They're trying. They're studying.
They're working on it.
There's just – yeah, there's not nowhere near close to consensus as to what it is.
But to me, until they're able to fully explain that in some way that it's, oh, no, it's all in this physical world. There's nothing, you know, extra worldly about it. There's nothing spiritual that we don't understand. There's nothing mystical. Until they can explain that, to me, it is. It is magic. It is mystical. it transcends. And I think that there's a part of vitality. When I talk about vitality, that's that life force. That's what I'm talking about. Mm-hmm. There's some driven life force that we all share.
So for you, vitality is consciousness.
No. What I'm saying is when we talk about we were talking about the definition, like an underlying energy or life force that flows through us and is the basis of our life and health and motivates us, right? I really do think there is something there that is unexplainable, just like consciousness is unexplainable. I believe it's a more overarching energy and life force, and consciousness is a subset of it.
So for you, vitality could be dark energy, of which they cannot have any explanations about, don't know how it would measure it, but they know it exists somehow, and that's just what they call it.
Sure. Could be anything. It's unexplained. I think true what I'm talking about, when I'm talking about the life energy part of vitality, because I think when you use the word vitality, we're talking about a bunch of things.
Right.
But the life energy part of it, I think, is at this point in time, it's unexplainable.
When do you feel you have your most vitality and have your least?
Whenever I feel enlightened, you ever reach those moments of enlightenment?
Every day, Dave. I just walk around that way.
Yeah. So it's a fleeting thing, and it's something that we're always trying to go after. But whenever you hit those, simultaneously, for me, I simultaneously feel motivated and not motivated. I simultaneously feel like everything's going to be okay, and all the stressors that I'm worrying about don't matter. You know what I mean? It's this weird feeling. And for me, that's when I think I'm at the peak of my vitality. I feel like I'm in harmony with the vibrations of the universe. Like saying those words, it sounds all frou-frou, woo-woo, doesn't make any sense, right?
It does make sense.
That's it. That's what I'm talking
about.
That's
good. When do you feel like you have none or a limited amount?
Oh, obviously. Anytime that I'm feeling fear.
Or sick.
Anytime that I'm sick. Yeah. I would say those are the two biggest things that take me away from it.
Fear. Think about that. That's something all animals experience, and it removes vitality, life force. Yeah. And it does from other animals too, would be my guess.
Well, I mean, think about those things that we talked about. We're talking yoga and acupuncture. What's the drive of those? It's to maintain health. It's to be resilient. It's to be strong, have a strong, healthy mind and body that wards off illness. Yeah.
We've created a society that strips the mind of its vitality. And again, we don't see all those little choices we go throughout our whole day of doing so. We give our brain away hour, minute after minute, hour after hour to whatever bullshit we see on the internet, whatever show we're watching. But we don't see that as a choice. We don't know that we're giving away our mental vitality.
And our physical vitality.
Slowly. For sure, that.
We sit in chairs all day looking at screens. We think about the food that we put in.
That's why
body,
I have this
right?
weight equipment here. Like when I'm down or have a crappy meeting or a crappy call, I have to get down and do something physical. And I do that very religiously and very quickly. But I'd never thought of it this way, but I guess it's trying to reinsert a little physical vitality when my mental vitality is, towards empty. And yeah. It helps me.
Oh, it helps me. It helps me 100%.
And you see other people do that, combining different things. But
well, if you're talking about it from a mental health perspective and a physical health perspective, right? Because if health is a key element in having this vitality, which I think there's definitely some truth to that. Think about what our society, like the default mode of an American now. It is almost in an opposite position to something that would build vitality. It strips you down, right? So you're in debt. Let's just start with the default. You're in debt. You have to work that debt off. You have to do things, right? We talked about what's going to strip vitality. There's the first thing. Secondly, what is it that we eat, right? We don't eat anything that's natural. It's all processed. It's got to be quick because we don't have time to focus on that stuff. So our eating is just most of the time it's something that we're trying to do quickly so that we can get back to work, right? And let's think about this from the perspective of just a weekday. And then what do? We drove in a car. We sat. We woke up in our bed, and then we went and sat in the car chair, and then we go to the office chair.
Yeah, but then
I'm not saying that everyone is, Zach. I'm just saying humans, this is the default mode.
I'm just saying humans, even the fun stuff, everything they're trying to create right now is to avoid any movement whatsoever. Let me get on my scooter. That's not good enough. Let me get on my electric scooter. That's not good enough. Let me get on my solo single wheel thing. Let me get on my hoverboard. Like,
right.
People don't want to move.
Right. Well, yeah. I mean, obviously what we're talking about is if you ever see the movie WALL-E, where it's like the future of human civilization, like robots are doing everything. Humans are just these fat blobs. Their bones have basically shriveled to the point where they can't even stand up because they're carried around by these, you know, chairs that wheel them around. Anyway, obviously, just think about – that's an extreme example, and they were trying to do that to make a point. But what I'm talking about is in the context of vitality, in your average day today, like what are we doing from a default mode every day that builds vitality?
But that's my point with the choices piece. Is that you've got to wake the fuck up and look at what choices am I making. By not thinking about the choices we make on a daily basis, that's a choice. That's the choice. You go through your day and you choose to not have vitality. You can reinvigorate. You can recharge your batteries anytime you want, and we don't do it because we don't think we have the opportunity to. And that's your call as an individual, man. And it's hard. It's hard work to pause, to reflect, to think, man, I'm not feeling good. Whether it's my spirit, my mind, I'm experiencing fear. I'm feeling unhealthy. I'm eating poorly.
I agree 100% with you. But let me throw some caveats in there. I think the default mode, the easiest path for life with the modern society that we live in, is not to stop and think about any of that. And it's to do the easy thing, right?
Well, that's what technology does for us. We want technology to do everything for us.
Yeah. So our food technology, our transportation technology.
Our thinking. We don't want to think. We need the computer to fill in the rest of the question. So I don't even need to think about the rest of the question.
But I'll even take it further and say our commercial motivations, our education system, our financial system, they're all structured to strip vitality as well. So what's the first thing that you're supposed to do after you get out of high school? You're supposed to get in debt to go to college, right? So now you're in debt, and you're supposed to get in house debt too because you got to buy a house, right? So now you're a slave to financial institutions.
You're an economic slave.
Right? So now you view all of these things that you decided to do. These were your choices, right? Well, what was your other choice? Like, there are other choices, you know, that to try to go fundraise and start a business and whatever, but that's not the thing that everyone does. That's not the path of least resistance. I'm just saying, I believe the path of least resistance strips vitality, puts you in a position where you are indebted. You then feel like you have to do things. You have to go to work at this corporation and you have to be in there. Accounting department, and you don't care about it. It's not like that builds vitality. Doing the books for whatever megacorp you're at isn't building your vitality, right? You get what I'm saying?
Yeah,
so you go
I'm,
do
I'm
that.
I'm not disagreeing with anything you're saying.
You go do that, and you give that. That's what your day is, right? You wake up, oh, I have to get up. I have to get in the car. I have to be at work by X time. I have to do these three reports by the end of the day. I have to. And by the time you're done with that day, you're just stripped down. You're beaten down anyway. And you're looking for any kind of release. You know what I mean? Which usually comes in the form of watching a game with people over a beer or something. And that's your release. Nothing in there builds vitality. And I think if you look at the state of America and our physical and mental health, right, what are the problems we have? We've got all kinds of disease problems. I think for the first time over the last few years, life expectancy has started to fall for Americans. Suicide is at a peak, you know. You have experience with that from volunteering with organizations that are meant to combat that. I mean, I kind of think you're seeing this lack of vitality manifest itself.
Well, yeah.
Yeah.
You're preaching to the choir.
But I think people are waking up to it too. Let me give some credit where credit's due. Like I think if you had mentioned meditation or yoga in the 1980s, people would have been like, oh, who the hell is this guy?
Very fringe.
Where now I think we're finally waking up to the fact that, wait a minute, these things are purposeful and useful and should have a place in everyone's life. Same thing with exercise.
Like, I hear what you were saying before, and I agree. I don't disagree. But I also know America's very bifurcated, and I think there's pockets of mega vitality going on. And the crypto industry is one. And young people in technology in general, like, they're just booming with energy and vitality and optimism and innovation and disruption. And we can do it better and different. That's occurring in a very real way.
Yeah.
And we just saw that. So, like, all that other shit is going on. I'm not disagreeing with that 100%. But in America, that's why I love America. There's pockets of all kinds of different shit occurring at the same time.
I agree.
And to me, it's where you want to focus.
I agree. I think what I was doing was railing against the existing power structures that suck away your vitality. I think that's what I was doing in some sort of a diatribe.
But to me, this would be separate. I believe, for me, Zach's belief is that the core giver of vitality, other than just your natural genetics and how you're hardwired, is the family unit. That's where you can create the mindset for vitality. Now, I can say that because I'm lucky enough to have a, you know, what's it called? The traditional unit, the nuclear family,
Yeah.
You know, and we've got means, and I understand not everybody has that. And family to some people is horrible. If that's not your situation, you can program yourself and your kids to absolutely pursue a life full of vitality from the get-go.
I agree with you 100%. All I'm saying
is... That's just where I want to... I'm not going to solve the problem. I can't... I'm not going to change all those power systems.
No, but you have to be aware.
I want to find the paths. Yes. Are you saying I'm not?
No, I'm saying you are aware. I'm saying you are an anomaly, okay?
But that's what everything I do is trying to let other people see I'm not... I'm regular fucking Joe nobody, dude. I'm a nobody, nothing, a speck of bullshit. And everyone has the opportunity to wake the fuck up. That's my whole point. And I don't want to look at the systems can keep us down because I'm not going to rebuild them. It goes back to Theodore Roosevelt's quote. The critic is not the one who counts, the man who is in the arena who counts. And I want everyone to stop being the critics and become the man or woman in the arena. Get the fucking dust and sweat on your face and try.
Yeah, but step one is becoming aware of it, Zach.
And that's what everything I do is to try to help people become aware of
it. And what I'm saying is the default path is not a path of awareness. And that's why this conversation is great. This conversation needs to be heard by more people. This conversation needs to be had more often because I think the typical person, if you look at our peers and you do a sample and you say, what path did they take? We've got some amazing anomalies that went out and did cool stuff. You talked about vitality and young people being present in the crypto industry. Absolutely it is. What is different about the crypto industry than the banking industry? The path that you took to get where you're at. The people who are doing awesome in the crypto industry are people who never took that default path with the existing power structures and ended up in old guard industries, working at the bank, doing that same bullshit 9 to 5 for the people at the top, giving their life force to support the life force of the people at the top. They were the mavericks. They were the ones that said, no, fuck that. I'm dropping out of college because I'm going to build the Strike app, which is going to make payments with Bitcoin rails, and it's going to unseat the credit card apps, as Jack Mallers did. Mm-hmm. I'm dropping out of college, and I'm going to go become the world's leading analyst of on-chain data analytics, like Will Clemente just did, right? These people are not following the default path. That's my whole fucking point, Zach. So if you're going to get passionate about this and say, people need to wake the fuck up, absolutely they need to wake up. If they're going to have vitality, they need to. I'm just calling out the fact that the default structure, including our debt system, our financial system, and our corporate system, are built to suck your vitality to support the people at the
top. So how are you building Central differently? How are you building it in a way that's not sucking your team members' vitality?
Well, we're a very open. Well, I'm serious.
No, I'm asking very clearly. Yeah. Your company is there to serve the power structure currently.
It is.
To keep it in a pure existence. And so that could be viewed as very hypocritical.
It is.
You're railing against the system, and yet your whole business and how you keep food on your family's table is meant to serve the system.
Well, you're calling out a very tough dynamic, which is how do you survive and thrive in the system that we have and simultaneously not only feed the life force of the old guard at the top that's sucking your vitality. That is, I think, what you're talking about. There's a dynamic. And I could talk to you about the things that we're doing at Central.
No, I don't really want to know. My point, that's my point, though, is like everybody wants to have that narrative and that vitality, but then they make choices that prop the old system up the whole time.
Yeah, and here's the thing. Even talking about the crypto industry, right? Well, there was this big argument that was going on stage. You went to the thing. I didn't even go to the thing, but you came back and you brought it to me and you said, man, they were arguing.
It was awesome.
About the fact that money, right? BlackRock, Larry Fink from BlackRock's coming in and trying to buy some of the biggest, you know.
He could.
Yeah, well, theoretically, could buy some of the biggest influential companies in the space. And then they're obviously, this was a maverick community who has a belief that the old guard is who they're trying to fight against. And so there was a fight about, is this money going to come in and pervade us and change our mission? And they're just going to get the power over us then. You know what I mean? The dark side is creeping in was the basis of that argument. So that's exactly what you're talking about. How do you continue to thrive and build and not continue to prop up the old? Well, that's what we're trying to figure out. That's what this conversation's about.
To me, it just all goes back to the kids and how what the choices you make with your children. Like, period. That's it. They're the future. And so if you don't have kids, obviously this doesn't apply to you. But if you do, if you just talk to your kids from day one about, okay, college, this and that, you're just setting them up wrong, man. It's not the way to do it. I was a college professor. I have a little bit of knowledge here. I could look into that crowd and literally one student out of 20 was there and they could articulate the purpose. They could articulate the reason they were there to try to use it for the next step in their life to achieve a particular goal that then gets them and propels them in a certain way. Everyone else had no fucking clue why they're there. They're there just because I'm supposed to be here. It's a joke, man. Yeah. It's a joke.
Yeah.
But you've got to change that within your own family. And nobody wants to because it's, like you said, it's easier to just, okay, we'll go to college. Yeah, go to college.
I'm supposed to be here.
And that's just not Everyone how, expects me not to how be we here. Do it in our family. Everyone it's just expects not how me we do here. It. And I don't think it's how other people should. It's a terrible decision.
Well, that's awesome. But you can't just go around assuming that that's the way that the world is because you do it differently in your family.
Do you think that that's how the assumption I make?
Well, just the way you were talking about it is like, well, everybody just needs to wake the fuck up. Well, I'm just saying.
Dave, I take actions every day to help people see choices in their life. Everything I do is trying to be an action catalyst. I just don't like when you were talking about railing against the system. You serve the system.
As do you.
I left academia. I'd say I've carved a path that's pretty unique compared to all of our other friends for sure.
Yeah, no doubt. No doubt you have. That's why I was calling you an anomaly.
My point is, though, folks, disagreement and debate can also bring out vitality.
It does. It's a necessary part.
As you've
part.
Heard here. But the funny thing is, it feels like we're arguing, but what are we even arguing over?
Yeah,
right
we're
now?
Not. We're not. We're making each other
but
better
it,
by
but
forcing
it feels
us to
like
think
we
new
are,
thoughts.
But what articulate with your rational mind, what are we even arguing over right now? Where did this all come from? Where did this vitality in our conversation emerge from? What is the exactly? Like, that's my point. How magical is vitality? We started this at 6, and I'm going to have to go soon.
Yeah.
We started this at 6, and we were like, and then we got into talking about and defining it, and then we got into what occurred. As soon as we started talking about occupations and money.
It is.
Money and time and choices, man. That is where people either get their vitality sucked away or inflated.
Yeah, I think if I had to wrap up what we were talking about, my whole point is that people need to be aware And the default, if you just go along with the way that things are, if you're just going to be there because you're supposed to be there, because you're, that's what my parents said I should do, and that's what Uncle
That's what everyone in high
Jim
school
says,
said I should
and all
do.
My friends did it too, and so that's what I'm doing too, because this is the way the things are. If you live that life, it will you will by default have your vitality sucked from you to prop up people in power.
You're choosing to give it away without knowing that you're doing so.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely.
So we really weren't disagreeing about anything.
We were not. We were in violent agreement.
We were in violent agreement. Oh, well done. Well said.
All right. So I've got some.
Yeah, I literally have 5 minutes, and then I got to go.
So if we're talking about change challenges, I thought that this was awesome. So this is from that University of Pennsylvania website. So you could probably just Google authentic happiness, University of Pennsylvania, and you'll come across this site. And on when they're talking about vitality, they talked about some exercises you can do. So here's some great ones. I'll use these exercises in lieu of my change challenge. Mm. Number one.
To create happiness or vitality?
I mean, it supports happiness. Happiness is this grand thing, but this is about vitality.
Okay. Gotcha.
Do something because you want to do it, not because you have to do it. Get a good night's sleep and eat a good breakfast to give yourself more energy during the day. I'll say get a good night's sleep for sure. The breakfast thing, whatever.
You're right. I agree with that.
Do something physically vigorous in the morning. Run, yoga, whatever. Go out of your way to become more involved in an organization, maybe to one in which you already belong. We never talked about that. I do feel like the connection piece of vitality is important, being part of something that's bigger than you. Okay, and then the last one, find your passion. What do you love to do? And then build it into your schedule. If you don't know what it is, then work to discover it. What did you love to do when you were younger, et cetera?
Nice. Those are awesome.
I thought those were good.
Yeah. I don't think I need to add a change challenge, though. Do those.
Yeah. Yeah. And those will help you build what we were talking about, that mystical life force of vitality.
Well, this has been a fun one. We ended with a bit of violent agreement, as Dave said. That's a fantastic line. I don't know if I've ever heard that. But vitality, whether you think about it in a physical sense, a genetic sense, or a spiritual, mystical sense, it's a very real thing. You feel it. When you have it, you feel it. And when it's sucked away, you feel that too. And I believe every choice you make, whether you know it's a choice or not, you're either depleting or refilling your energy, your vitality reserves throughout your whole day. Think a bit more about your life's task and think about how that, where you're allowing yourself to pursue that or even try to figure out what it is. Because if you're not serving your own life's task, as Dave said, you're serving someone else's and serving their power structure or their goals. But remember, life's an experiment. So if you're feeling depleted, if you're feeling without vitality and energy, you can make changes there. Or if you're feeling great, do some reflection to figure out how you can stay in that zone and maintain that level of vigor and vitality. And as we like to say at Life Lab, experiment with life.